So thankful for your presence today. It's good to see everyone. You know, we say, what are some things that I would ask, questions that I would ask Jesus? Well, have you ever considered that there were some questions that Jesus asked of men? I'd like to look at a few of these with you in the Bible. In fact, the first one is, where is your faith? This is usually asked with the meaning of trust. Where's your trust? What happened? The context here of this question is found in Luke chapter 8 and verses 22 through 25. It says that on a certain day, he got in a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down the lake and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And Jesus asked this in the context of, you know, dangerous situation, perilous times. And we can ask that question too. We need to ask it of ourselves. That when we get in perilous times and when we start worrying, when worry's not going to make it any better, but we start worrying and being, "Oh my, what's going to happen?" and all of these kinds of things, we need to remember this question of Jesus. Where is your faith? Are you trusting me? The peril that they were in was real. The boats that they were in weren't like boats that we have today. These are just little wooden boats. Fairly little, for comparatively little anyway. They might have been 20 to 25 feet long, maybe 30 feet, but just a wooden structure. And as long as the water's on the outside of the boat, you're okay. But they were filling with water, it says, verse 23. That's not good. This boat's going down if something doesn't happen. So the danger was real. Jesus didn't discount. Before he, you know, Jesus didn't get up and say, "Where's your faith?" and then rebuke the wind and the storm. The danger was so real that he rebuked the storm first. Got the situation under control. But when Jesus asked the question, he was essentially saying, "I've got everything under control anyway. Do you really think the Father sent me to earth on this mission, and I chose you for your mission, and we're all going to drown here in the Sea of Galilee? That's not going to happen. Do you really think that when the storms of life seem to overwhelm you, that you can just abandon your mission of living to the glory of God? It's in the darkest times of our life that we need to let the light of God be seen in our life. That we're trusting in God. And there is no storm that's going to overtake us. There's no trouble that God can't handle. We just keep looking to Him and trusting Him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we read, "Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" God provides for all things, and this is said in the context of the Sermon on the Mount when people were wondering, well, what are we going to eat and where are we going to live and how are we going to be clothed with? And Jesus is saying, God clothes everything. God takes care of all of His creation. Why would He not take care of you? And especially, as He says in verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added to you." What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? How are we going to be clothed? Well, God takes care of everything in His creation, but a special promise to you who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is that He's going to take care of you. These things will be added to you. I think sometimes we get in a situation where we try to justify putting our job first or putting our survival first rather than putting God first. And we try to qualify that by saying, well, God gave me this job and this is what I do. And I realize it's going to keep me away from doing the will of God. It might keep me away from Bible studies and keep me away from worship services. It might keep me away from things that I know I should be doing. But man's got to live. God knows that you got to live. And God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Always put God first. Put God's will before our perceived will. Put your trust in God above the storm of how are we going to live? How are we going to pay the bills? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Where is your faith? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself and your ability to survive? Or are you trusting in God and putting Him first in your life and letting Him lead you? Are you seeking self-righteousness or His righteousness? In Matthew 14 and verse 31, it says, immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What happened here? This is another storm. The apostles are in the ship. Jesus has went and prayed, and they've went on without Him, and now they're in a storm, and they think they're going to perish. And here comes Jesus walking across the water. And that's got to be a ghost. I've never seen a ghost, but it's the only explanation I can come up with, or they can come up with. Yeah, that can't be real. And Jesus, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter said, well, if it's you, bid me to come out to you. And he said, well, come on. And he came out, and as Peter was walking on the water, all of a sudden, he started looking around and said, I can't walk on water. Instead of looking in Jesus and trusting in Jesus, he started looking at what he could do and what he couldn't do. And sure enough, he couldn't walk on water. He sunk. Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out His hand and rescued him. But again, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you start trusting in yourself rather than continuing to trust in me? Why would we ever doubt? Think about that. When you are walking through the storms of life, don't take your focus away from Jesus. Where is your faith? Lift Him up. Trust Him. Trust in His Word. Do His will. Regardless of whatever schemes we might come up with and human ways of doing things, always trust God and do things His way. Trust Him, honor Him, and glorify Him. Let your trust be seen. Realize that the source of true faith is indeed His Word. That faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But we need to practice true faith. James 1 and verses 21 and 22, he says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. There's a good passage. It goes on the heels of our Bible class this morning that we had in our auditorium class and talking about the indwelling of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, the Word is to be implanted in our heart, you see. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. I thought God saved our souls. Yeah. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to save my soul. Yeah, me too. How do they do that? They get the word into our souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we just hear what God wants us to do but don't do what God wants us to do, where is our faith? Well, it's inactive, it's dead, it's alone. It needs to be practiced, it needs to be seen, it needs to be real. Well, another question that Jesus asked is, have you not known me? In John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know where it is. And Thomas said, well, we don't know where it is. How can we know? And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me, Philip? And he said to him, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. You want a representation of what it means for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and us to dwell in the Holy Spirit, or God to dwell in us and us to dwell in God? Look at what Jesus is saying here. And how the evidence of that is in the doing of his word. But have I been so long with you and you have not known me? You do not know me? Many people assume that they have faith in Christ and yet they do not know him as he is revealed in his word. They've heard about Jesus, some things about Jesus, and they believe those things that they have heard about Jesus. And because they believe those things that they've heard about Jesus, they believe that they know Jesus. We don't know Jesus until we know him as he has revealed himself in his word entirely. We can't know some things about Jesus and know Jesus. Right? You know, and we know some things about each other, don't we? Do we know each other? Do we really know each other? The only way we can really know each other is when we are completely transparent with each other and let people see us as we are. And the only way that we can know Jesus, Jesus has been completely transparent with us. The things that the Father speaks to me, I speak to you. And so when you see me and you hear me, you see the Father. Notice, we cannot know Jesus apart from the Word, because he is the Word of God in the form of man. As he said there in verse 10, again, the words that I speak unto you, they're not my words, not my words alone. More especially, they are the Father's words that he has given me to speak to you. In John 1, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 explains, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We cannot know Jesus apart from the Word, the written Word. The written Word reveals the Word, the only begotten Son of God. Another question. Have you not read? Jesus was asked many questions. And sometimes with those questions, one of the first things that he would say, have you not read? Why are you asking me this? It's already written. You've already got the answer. So many times, a lot of the questions that we ask is because we've gotten tired of reading and studying and rightly dividing the Word of God. True answers to our questions about life and the will of God will come by reading the Word of God. In John 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Do the Scriptures contain the words of eternal life? Yeah. Yes, they do. And even the Old Testament Scriptures were telling about eternal life in the Messiah. And that's the point that Jesus is making here. And yet, now, I, the Messiah, am standing right here in front of you, and you're rejecting me. The very works that I do testify that I am who I say that I am. God is confirming that I am His Son. That I am the Messiah. Not only that, but the Scriptures testify. The Scriptures testify that I am the Messiah. I'm fulfilling those Scriptures, those prophecies, He's saying. Eternal life is in Jesus. But we cannot find Jesus and eternal life that is in Him apart from the Scriptures. In John 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. He who hears my word and believes in him has everlasting life, has passed from death to life." Why wouldn't you believe in Jesus? Have you not read? Why would you not read so that you might believe and trust in him? In John 8 and 31 and 32, passages we read so often, Jesus said to those who believed him, "If you abide in my word," if you continue to live in my word, "you are my true disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free." In John 14 and verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." God has delivered his word. Are we keeping his word? Are we reading his word that we might keep his word? "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." When his word and his will abides in us because we believe and trust his word, we are abiding in him and he abides in us. John 17 and verse 20 says, "I do not pray for these alone, the apostles alone. I pray for all those who believe in me through their word." How are you going to know his word unless you read his word? I can give you a lesson out of his word, but this is just a little tidbit of everything that he has to say. These are just to remind us and to inspire us and encourage us to continue to read his word and know him. Hopefully, give us some encouragement to want to read his word and know him better, that our faith will be stronger, that we might truly know him. So the question, do you read his word? Have you not read? Are you reading his word? Why wouldn't you? Another question we find here in Matthew chapter 15 in verses 10 through 20. Jesus called the multitude to himself and he said, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles man." And his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these sayings?" You know, they had their traditions. And their tradition was, it was a sin to eat with unwashing hands, that eat without washing your hands. That was their tradition. It wasn't the law of God, it was tradition. And Jesus said, you know, if you eat a little bit of dirt, it's not going to defile you. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. I said, you know, the Pharisees were offended when you said that. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Jesus intends for us to understand his word. He said, hear and understand. He could say to you and I, read and understand. Study and understand. We'll not understand without reading and without studying. He goes on in verse 15, Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. This parable, it's not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Explain that to us. And Jesus said, are you still without understanding? There's the question. Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands does not defile a man. You know, we could have said to Peter, what are you asking? What does that mean? You got to know what that means. Well, you know what it means because you've read this before. But we might have been just like Peter. We might read things that we find in the Bible and we say, I don't understand what that means. You know what we need to do? We need to keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep studying. And the answer and the understanding will be given there. Explanation of his word is made available when we need it. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 30 through 31, you remember the story of the Ethiopian treasurer, that Philip ran to him and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Sometimes we need help to understand. You know, but Philip didn't get up and say, well, this is what I think it means. He was reading from Isaiah, and he explained to him from the scriptures that this one that he's talking about is Jesus. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that the Ethiopian treasurer had heard about Jesus. The whole reason he was reading Isaiah chapter 53 was because he was coming from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, and that's all that was being talked about in Jerusalem was Jesus of Nazareth. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews were saying that, well, Isaiah was talking about himself, about the prophet himself. And the Christians were speaking up and saying, no, this is a prophecy of the Messiah, that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's why the treasurer was asking this question. And Philip was able to explain to him from the scriptures that this indeed was speaking about Jesus. But he had need of explanation, and God provided the explanation. We talked about providence Wednesday night. Here's providence. Are miracles involved? Yeah, miracles are involved. An angel spoke to Philip. Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. Perhaps this Ethiopian treasurer had been praying for understanding. And God answered his prayer. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, we simply read, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But the main point is that we just need to keep reading. Not just understand Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ, the revelation of the mystery, but every revelation of the mystery. What's the key? Keep reading. Last question. And I think one of the most important questions of all. In Luke chapter 6 and verses 46 through 49, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now you need to understand that the term Lord signifies one who has authority. And when you say, "Lord, Lord," you absolutely are the Lord. You have the authority to direct my life, to tell me what to do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you question what I'm telling you to do? Why do you question, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved"? Why do you question that, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you"? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I tell you to do? That's not faith. That's not trust. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, whoever comes to me. There's a question. Have you come to Him? Have you come to Jesus? Well, if you come to Jesus and you hear His sayings and do them, I will show you to whom you are like. You're like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he who heard and are not doing is like a man who's built his house upon the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So faith is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. This is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a point that he makes over and over and over and over again. If you come to me and you hear my sayings and you do them, you don't have to worry about what's going on in life. Just trust God. Where is your faith? If you hear me, and you believe, and you do what I tell you to do, you will know me. You will know me. Not know about me, you will know me intimately. If you hear me, and you believe me, and you do what I say, you will continue to read and find me there. You will be with understanding, not without understanding. Some questions Jesus asked of men. Some questions he's asking of us. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Lord and Savior? But you're not doing what He tells you to do? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And when He says, "Do not the things which I say," He means only do the things which I say. He doesn't mean do some of the things which I say. Do the things which I say, and then do the works of the flesh too. No, just do the things which I say. He tells us not to work the works of the flesh. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Pretty good questions to ask of ourselves today. And if you're here today and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God to the point to where you want to be forgiven of your sins and live to His praise and glory, not walk in your self-righteousness, but in His revealed righteousness, we'd encourage you today to do what He says and be baptized for the remission of your sins and to continue to abide in His Word. If you're here today, a child of God, and you realize you're out of favor with God, do what He says. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.